Morning. It's good to see everyone with us today to worship. Couple announcements as we get started here. There is going to be a brief pastor parish meeting right after worship back in the library. So if you're on that committee, meet with Noah back there. Just be a real short meeting, hopefully, right? Yeah. All right. Wednesday is last choir rehearsal. So if you haven't been able to make choir, after this point, there's still an opportunity to be a part of that. That's at 7:30. Saturday, Ashley wanted me to make mention that it's going to be rehearsal at 10 o'clock. Did I get that right? 10 o'clock for the kids' Christmas program next Sunday, because next Sunday, the kids will be doing their Christmas program during the morning worship. So the only other thing I wanted to say was, again, the volunteer sheets, still have several I have not received yet, and I'm still counting on you to turn those in. Again, there's two areas that I kind of glanced over to see what we needed. Two areas that we really do need some additional help in, and one of them is the valet parking, people willing to help park cars next year, and also still looking for some people that would be willing to be Sunday school teachers for the children's classes. So keep that in mind then too. So, but there are blank forms on the table back there. If you don't have yours, or you lost yours, or you're going to have a change of heart and you say, man, I really want to fill one out. So they're still available. All right. All right. Does anyone have an announcement they need to bring up this morning? Bobby. Okay, next, if you got a name last week for the angel tree, make sure you bring your presents. Next Sunday, put them under the tree back there, and they are around the tree in the back there in the fellowship hall. All right, and also want to thank everybody that collected change throughout the year. That all goes toward a mission project to be determined later. But I thank you for that. And if you didn't bring it, you forgot yours, and it's still okay to bring that and just some. Karen will get them to the bank, right? Right, yeah. Right. Anyone else? Did you have one, Scott, or are you just waving at me for Bobby? Okay, all right. No other announcements. Let's begin our worship with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love that you give to us, for what you do for us, for the mercy that you show us, for the change of heart that you can give us to when we are dealing with so many different things. And because this is about learning to love. And we thank you that we have that privilege, that opportunity to be here today to learn and to grow. So may we commit our time to you this morning, be able to put aside whatever feelings we brought with us and focus on your goodness and your mercy. And we thank you and praise you in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. My son Cole was supposed to speak, but he's having a little stage fright, so I haven't read any of this yet, so I apologize if I stutter here. Again, the prophet Isaiah speaks, "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing." Do I read all four of these? Okay. "Joy to the World" is a beloved carol written in the early 1700s by Isaac Watts. It captures the enthusiasm that it was felt upon the announcing of the birth of our Messiah. The first verse speaks to this joy, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king, let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing." As we light the third candle of Advent, let us carry the joy of our salvation into the world, that people all around us may experience the joy of God's Spirit. Let us pray. Lord of joy, we await your coming with great expectation. Our lives are marked by joy, even when our circumstances might prove to the contrary. And so, may we help to bring joy to every heart this Advent season. Amen.
Lord, we take these moments just as we recall all the things that are going on in our lives. As we recall them, we have the opportunity and the privilege to to not only share them with each other, but to bring them to you. And we thank you that you are a good God that hears, responds, loves, forgives all those areas in our lives that we fail at. We thank you that you are there. We thank you that we can bring these things to you, our fears, our worries, our concerns, not only for those that we love, but also for our country, our leaders. So many things that are in turmoil. And we don't know what the answers are. But we do believe, no matter what is happening, we do believe you are in control. So help us to remember that when we get overwhelmed. Help us remember that when we are consumed with fears, when we're not sure what the future holds. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done in our lives, ways we have seen you at work, the miracle healings you have done, the peace and the comfort you have brought. And we know that you are the only one in our lives that never fails us. We thank you for that. We thank you for the answers that we know are coming or already at work. We thank you that no matter what the future does hold, you are already there. So, Lord, we lift all these things to you and help us to release those things that we are holding on to and to trust you. So with that in our hearts and minds, let us join together in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And miracles of Christmas that's always fascinated me as a child was wondering how it was possible for Santa to deliver toys to every boy and girl in the world and accomplish it all in just one night. How many of you ever thought that? Just how did that happen? There's more of you that thought that. But thanks to modern technology, I did some research online, see if I could actually get some answers to that question. And I found out from a scientific standpoint that it was all about things like time compression, wormholes in space, a whole lot of other stuff that I didn't understand. But the best answer that I got that I read was from a little kid who's just said, "I don't know. It just makes me happy." Now you may be wondering, what does this have to do with any aspect of the real meaning of Christmas or what I'm really supposed to be talking about this morning? But see, it's just like the story of Santa. A big part of the miracle of Christmas is the way or the method that God used to come to earth. And we talked about this a little bit last week, but I want to expand on it this morning. Because, you would think about God's love, His wisdom, His knowledge. All those things are beyond anything that we can really wrap our brains around. And Paul wrote in Romans 11:33, he said, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgments and His paths are beyond tracing out." And then even God, in His own words, in Isaiah 55, He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And when you think those words and you hear what the Scripture has to say, God has used so many different ways throughout the Scripture, throughout history, so many different ways to bring about His will, His purpose in this world. So, you know, there's certain aspects of this Christmas story that can really just be as hard to understand and to wrap our brains around just as much as it would be trying to figure out, once again, how does Santa deliver all those toys in one night? Now, if we were going to write this Christmas story, if you, each one of you had the ability that you were going to write the Christmas story itself in your own way, I'm pretty sure that most of us would probably write that story in a different way. It would probably have been, I know I would have done this, I would have made it so big and so spectacular that everyone would have known about it. Right off the bat, it'd be like, boom, there's God come to earth. Plus, I probably would have also made it very, not only big and spectacular, but also easy, painless, without any complications. Because I just think that would have, to me, that would have made a whole lot more sense. But God chose to reveal Himself in a way, and even though it was unimaginable, it was the way that He knew was the best way. A way that even though it would cause us to search and to question, it was a way that actually changed hearts forever. So God came into the world as a helpless baby, defenseless, vulnerable, born to humble, poor parents that had no influence or power in the world, not born in a palace or even a Motel 6, but in a stable surrounded by animals. An arrival that was not announced to kings and queens or even to the religious leaders who had waited for centuries for this Messiah to come. But He came to simple shepherds out in the field watching over their sheep. Illiterate men who weren't even considered a decent part of society. And they were given the responsibility to share the great news of Jesus' birth. That was God's method. And what's even more amazing of God coming in this way is that Jesus did this, all God's method revealing Himself through Jesus, it continued all through His life. He didn't hang around. He didn't present Himself or focus on the influential, important people of the world. He focused on the ordinary, everyday people, especially the outcast, the neglected people. And this pattern continued even on to His death and His resurrection. Think about that. He allowed Himself to be accused of all things, accused of inciting riots, of blasphemy, refused to defend Himself against any of those things. He died on a cross between two thieves, having been spit on, mocked, beaten. And then when He was resurrected from the dead, who did He appear to? He could have gone to the temple and flaunted Himself before the religious leaders like, ha, told you so. But He didn't. That's the way I would have had the story play out. Want justice. But He very quietly appeared to a few women, then to His disciples. Not a big production at all. And then giving His followers the responsibility to go out and make disciples of the entire world. Just think about the incredible awesomeness of that. Once again, the good news of the salvation of the world rested in the hands of these few followers, just ordinary, everyday, simple people. How impossible is that for us to grasp and to understand God's methods. Paul wrote a letter to in Corinthians to the early church there in Corinth, and he said this: consider your calling. Not many of you are wise from a human perspective, not many powerful, not many of noble birth, but God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world, what is viewed as nothing, to bring to nothing what is viewed as something, so that no one can boast in his presence. The beautiful thing about all this is that God's methods have not changed one little bit. As I reminded you last Sunday, he still uses ordinary, everyday people just like you and me to accomplish that awesome work. And that's why our abilities and our talents are not nearly as important as our attitude, not nearly as important as our willingness to share not only the good news, but also what he's doing in us. No matter who we are, no matter how insignificant we think we are. And that's why there's another aspect of this method of God, that God uses, of this miracle, that we need to hold on to. Because God didn't just give us this responsibility to be his followers, his disciples in this world. He didn't just do that and then just go away. Because when Jesus left this earth, what did he do? He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit here to live with you, to live in you, to perfect you in holiness. And that way, God would always be at work. Now, if we go back again to talking about if we were going to write this story of God coming to earth, we'd probably write this part of the story differently too. Because as followers of Jesus, wouldn't you want, if you're going to write that story, wouldn't you want to make sure that you never had any problems? Wouldn't you want to make sure that you would never be in pain or in grief? That you would always be happy and contented? That you'd never have to struggle to actually like somebody? All those things would just be perfect until the day we arrived in heaven. Now, wouldn't that be the way to write a story about God coming to earth and all those things that he had promised us? Make it simple. Make it easy. But once again, that's not the method that God chose. We do experience all kinds of pain. We do experience grief. We do experience stress. And many times when we feel we've taken one step forward in our spiritual growth, that's usually followed, or oftentimes followed, by three steps backward. And what's difficult for us to grasp and to understand sometimes, because as challenging and difficult as it may be, God's method is still the best. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12:10, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And that's why in this Christmas story, when the angel appeared to Mary to tell her that she would be the mother of God's Son, there's no way she could have predicted everything that was going to happen. That's why Joseph had no idea what would be involved when he obediently responded to not break off the engagement and to go ahead and marry. That's why Joseph and Mary endured shame and accusation, embarrassment, probably even ridicule. It was simply about believing. Believing what Paul wrote about later in Romans 8:28. Very familiar verse. For I know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. In other words, for Mary and Joseph, it was in trusting God through the difficulties that they were able to actually see the miracle of God. God becoming flesh right before their eyes. They saw God. How sweet is that? Bottom line in all this, and I read about this illustration before. It says that God uses all the things in our lives to make us into this beautiful tapestry. Now, if you've ever looked at a tapestry, you know that the back of the tapestry many times is just, it's kind of a mess. There's all threads hanging, looking tangled, doesn't look like anything. You see all these different knots, different colors, chaos. When you turn it over, you see what it's supposed to be. And I love that illustration because our lives are like that tapestry. Even though we can't understand, even when life seems confusing, even when it's full of disappointments and challenges and pain, even when we think God has abandoned us, God is actually at work, weaving all those things into the lives that he has designed for us. And one day, we'll finally be able to see from the top side that tapestry of our lives. Isn't that a beautiful promise? All those things that you go through, all the different emotions, they're all being worked by God and creating that beautiful tapestry of your life. That should keep you going when things seem hopeless, when they seem overwhelming, when people betray you, when people let you down, when you fail. We'll be able to see one day all those things, how they made us, they actually made us vibrant, rich colors to our lives that we couldn't see at the time, that wouldn't have been there otherwise. And we'll see the depth of our character and the strength that was revealed all the times of testing and trusting that we went through. And again, we will have become everything God intended us to be. That means that the simple beauty of the method that God chose, this Christmas miracle that we celebrate every year, it's not only just about taking ordinary people like you and me to accomplish incredible, extraordinary things for his kingdom. But most importantly, it's about the willingness to trust God even when we don't understand. We don't understand everything that happens. We make bad choices. We make bad decisions. We have regrets. God can still use those things. Talked about, you know, that candle on the Advent wreath is about, represents joy, the joy of Christmas. How are you experiencing the joy of Christmas? And it's not through children. We love to say Christmas is all about children. No. Christmas is about becoming like children. To letting go and trusting of who really is going to be in control. There's a beautiful verse from Romans chapter 11, verse 36. I'm going to close with that. It says, everything comes from God. Everything happens through God. Everything ends up in God. Always glory, always praise, always amen. Let's pray. Lord, we look at this season we come to every year. And we think that we have to create this Christmas spirit. We have to create this awesomeness that we have made this season to being with lights and gifts and all the stuff that we try to make it into something. And it's simple. It's simply about letting go, letting you be Lord. That's the joy. That's the hope. That's the peace. And that's the love. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. May you go in God's peace, and may you be a blessing to someone else. Amen.